Water use. Photosynthesis, for food production and more generally, needs water along with soil nutrients, seeds, and sunlight. Humans also need water daily for personal use, drinking, washing, sanitation, and for industrial processes. Water for agricultural use predominates, accounting for approximately twice the use of water for all other purposes combined. Just as there is a natural carbon dioxide cycle, so too is there a natural water hydrological cycle. Solar radiation heats the earth and causes evaporation of water from land and water bodies, and the transpiration of water through the leaves of plants. The combined evapotranspiration turns to clouds, rainfall, and a return of water to the land and the sea. Some of the water falling on the land is directly evaporated or transpired, while some runs off to the oceans and river flows. Similarly, some of the water vapor that evaporates from the oceans returns in rainfall directly over the oceans, while some is transported by wind over land where the rainfall occurs. Humans have dramatically interfered with the hydrological cycle, mainly to ensure adequate water for human food production. Up to 60% of accessible river runoff is now appropriated for human use through dams, irrigation systems, and other water diversion activities. The commandeering of the fresh water flow is now so high that many of the world's great rivers, including the Ganges in India, the Yellow in China, and the Rio Grande between the United States and Mexico, no longer reach the sea. Moreover, further damming of rivers often creates a zero-sum struggle, in which greater upstream users deprive both humans and natural ecosystems located downstream of the water that they need for survival. More generally, human activity is likely to contribute to severe water crises in the coming years. Groundwater, that is, water in underground aquifers, is being taken out of the ground for irrigation much faster than it is being replenished naturally. Water tables are falling rapidly, and irrigation wells are running dry in many places, notably in China and India. Wetlands are being drained for economic development, especially for farms and urban expansion, with adverse consequences for ecological processes and biodiversity. And of course, major waterways are being massively polluted. Nitrogen fixation. Nitrogen dominates the Earth's atmosphere, composing 78% of the molecules. Nitrogen is also vital for all living organisms, since it is the basic element in protein. Yet the form of nitrogen in the atmosphere, N2, is not directly available to plants or animals for use in biological processes. The triple bond that holds the two nitrogen atoms together is too strong to be broken in most metabolic processes. Some biological specialists in nitrogen, mainly certain kinds of bacteria, are able to use energy to convert the N2 into various nitrogen-based compounds, nitrates, ammonia, and so forth, which can then be absorbed biologically and used by other plants and animals to build proteins and contribute to biological functions. Lightning, too, can split the N2 molecule and deposit nitrates and ammonia naturally on Earth. The process of converting atmospheric nitrogen to active nitrogen is called nitrogen fixation. The problem today is that the natural fixation processes are too slow to provide the vast stores of nitrogen needed to grow food crops sufficient to feed the 6.6 billion people on the planet, much less the 7 to 9 billion the world will have by mid-century. That's where the Haber-Bosch process came in at the start of the 20th century. And in addition to chemical fertilizers, farmers also abet the natural cycle by planting leguminous crops such as alfalfa and soybeans, which have root systems that contain nitrogen-fixing bacteria. The amount of nitrogen fixed by chemical fertilizers and human crop choice is now around 60% of the Earth's total nitrogen fixation. Nitrogen-based fertilizers are vital for feeding the planet, but when used in excess, as is the case in many parts of the world, the costs can be very high. Human interventions in the nitrogen cycle are also polluting rivers and streams with excess flows of nitrates, ammonia, and other nitrogen-based chemicals. The results are poisoned drinking water and widespread destruction of estuaries and riverways fed by water flowing through large agricultural regions. Plant invasions. From the earliest days of agriculture, humans have been transporting seeds, plants, and animals from some locations on the planet to others. Very often the introduction of new species into a new locale has been deliberate, as when potatoes were introduced into Europe from the Andes. Sometimes the introduction of species is inadvertent, as when hyacinths invaded Lake Victoria and nearly choked the lake by depriving vast areas of sunlight. Humans have long been rearranging the Earth's ecology, with little understanding of side effects and unanticipated consequences. Some introduced species act as devastating weeds, taking over an ecosystem that lacks proper defenses. Pests and pathogens easily cross from one location to another. Bacteria and other infectious agents can be carried in the bilges of ships. As Vitusek and co-authors note, on many islands, more than half of the plant species are non-indigenous, and in many continental areas, the figure is 20% or more. Vitusek and co-authors illustrate this using the case of Canada, where an estimated 20% or so of plant species have been introduced from elsewhere by human activities. In general, the consequences of such introduced species are complex, typically unpredictable, and sometimes devastating to native species and to the functioning of the local ecosystems.